कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Thank you.
जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी
Thank you. Thank you.
അനുഭേദം അഭേദ കൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായണോ വിരഹ കാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സമഭൂത ഹൃദയം മുനി ആനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിനിരീക്ഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാകൃതാനനെന്തോഹോ മമ വാജി വിജൃംഭദാമുരാരേ മധുരീം കണികാവി കാവികാവി നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമീ നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുരാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയം വേണം ശ്യാമലോയം കുമാരണ വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാംബുരദോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter 87 is the glorification of the Supreme Personality by the personified Vedas. It is known as Shruti Gita. Shruti Gita means Shruti is coming to glorify Krishna, who is the originator of all the Shruti. Shrutis have come from Krishna, so Shrutis have come to glorify Krishna. So, when 10th canto was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, we are coming to the very end of 10th canto. So, in order that people understand that who is Krishna, that is the important thing, isn't it? Because there are so many personalities presented in this world as gods, this way or that way. And, but who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything comes? As the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Janmadhyasya Yadaha, that Janmadhyasya, from where it comes from, that personality is Krishna, from whom all other incarnations or representatives of, they all come from Krishna, and Krishna is the origin of all the incarnations. Ishwara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, അനാദിർ ആദിർ ഗോവിന്ദ സർവകാരണ കാരണം ബ്രഹ്മസംഹിത സേസ് ലൈക് ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി കോസ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ കോസസ് ഓർ ദി ഒറിജിൻ ഓഫ് എവ്രിതിങ് ഓർ ദ സുപ്രീം പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ഹെഡ് കൃഷ്ണ സോ നാച്ചുറലി ശ്രുതീസ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ദർ ഈസ് എ റീസൺ വൈ ദിസ് ശ്രുതിഗീത ഹാസ് കം ഇൻ ടു ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം ബിക്കോസ് ഇഫ് യു റീഡ് ശ്രുതിഗീത It is one of the most difficult chapters in the 10th canto. Something similar to the 11th canto. It is also very highly philosophical and not very easy to understand for most of the people because of the complexities of the explanations of different things which are in the very, very technical, so to say, from the Shastra. Because of its technicalities, unless one has gone through a large educational process of studying the Shastram, it's very difficult to deeply go into Shuddha Gita and understand it properly. It's one of the most difficult chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So because it is like that, generally most of the commentators who have touched on Shuddha Gita, they were not particularly, to say, highly successful in that. This is also an acknowledged factor. That Shuddha Gita, because so many commentators have handled Shuddha Gita, like you can see, all the great acharyas also have touched them. But by and large, the most successful commentator on Shuddha Gita is still considered to be Sridharacharya Swamiji. Sridharacharya Swamiji's Bhavartha Deepika, which is the first commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he has been accepted as the greatest, most successful commentator on that particular chapter of Shuddha Gita, who was able to handle it in such an easy manner that everybody who has followed since then while writing their commentaries, they have gone in the direction of Sridhara Swami or Sridharacharya Swamiji. And you will find many, many other commentators who have come later. They have all taken great help from Sridhara Swami's commentary in order to explain it in their own way while commenting on this Shuddha Gita. Shuddha Gita's difficulty you can understand when you read the verses. The verses are itself very complex. In addition to that, the translation and the purport, when you read it, you won't feel any connection with it, why it is all like so complicated. That is what a Shuddha Gita is. And particularly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a lot of importance to Sridharacharya Swamiji's commentary because of its completeness in all aspects, and particularly in reference to the successful commentary on the Shuddha Gita. So later on, many other acharyas had come, like Vallabhacharya in his Subodhani commentary, he spoke about Shuddha Gita. Say, later on, Jiva Goswami in the Shalsandarbhas has spoken about Shuddha Gita. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has spoken in Sarartha Darshini about Shuddha Gita. But although all these commentaries do exist, if you take our Prabhupada's commentary, you will find Prabhupada has taken the greatest help from the authenticity of Sridharacharya Swamiji commentary again. In Krishna book, if you look, you will find Srila Prabhupada has taken almost most of the explanations or most of the commentaries of Sridharacharya Swamiji's commentary in his commentary on this Shuddha Gita. So that makes it to show that even Srila Prabhupada was willing to take the Sridhara Swami's commentary as the most illuminating commentary on this chapter of Shuddha Gita. Not like anyone else, but and this will see when you read in the Krishna book, for different verses, everyone has been commented by Sridhara Swami in his own way, and Srila Prabhupada has translated those also in his commentary in the Krishna book. So, from time immemorial, although Srimad Bhagavatam's first commentary of Sridharacharya Swamiji was there, and even today, those who want to understand Shuddha Gita, they will take to this particular commentary of Sridharacharya Swamiji, which is Bhavartha Deepika. So, that is a little bit background of this commentary. Sridharacharya Swamiji spent a lot of time in Benares. That is where this commentary was written. Srimad Bhagavatam commentary was written by Sridharacharya Swamiji in Benares. So long ago, before this commentary was written, this has happened many, many years ago, much before all the acharyas have appeared. Most of the acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas have come before that this was written. So even the impersonalists wanted to comment on Srimad Bhagavatam. And the story as it is available today is that Shankaracharya wanted to write his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, and with that intention, when he sat down, Lord Shiva appeared in front of him and told him that he should not write the commentary, rather he should go to Sridharacharya Swamiji and ask him to write this commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how this happened in Benares. That there is a verse in relationship with that. Aham veti, shugo veti, vyaso veti, janarada, shridhara, sakalam veti, shri narasimha prasadada. Lord Shiva is saying to Shankaracharya that do not touch Srimad Bhagavatam. Leave that to Sridharacharya Swamiji. Let him comment on that. The reason for that, Sridharacharya Swamiji was a great devotee of Narasimhadev, Narasimhamurti. Lord Narasimha was his most favorite incarnation. He loved to worship. And due to his intense worship of Narasimhamurti, Narasimhamurti gave him this benediction to him that his commentary on Bhagavatam will become the most popular one. If Krishna decides something, nobody can change it. You can market it your best possible way. That's not going to change the situation. So what happened was, because Narasimhamurti gave this special mercy to Sridharacharya Swamiji, his commentary did become the most prominent one. And even when Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not forget Sridharacharya. He still wanted to keep Sridharacharya's commentary in the forefront. Although philosophically there are little differences from Achindya Bhedaveda Tattvam and Sridharacharya Swamiji's philosophy in this commentary, still in spite of all that, Mahaprabhu did not want to take any other commentary except Sridharacharya's commentary. And later on many other commentators commented on this, but still none of them could match that beauty of the commentary of Sridharacharya Swamiji in Bhavartha Divya. Aham veti shuko veti vyaso veti jadaradaham. To comment on Srimad Bhagavatam is not a very easy thing. Bhagavatam is not simply a book of devotion. There is knowledge in Bhagavatam. There is renunciation in Bhagavatam. Especially when those particular pastimes, which is relationship with Krishna's specific activities and Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavatam, when it comes, it becomes very, very, very complicated. And that is why it required someone who had a deeper penetration into the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Therefore it says there, Lord Shiva says to Acharya Swamiji, Aham Veti, I understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva is saying, I understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aham Veti, then Shugo Veti, Sukadeva Goswami also understands the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says. I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami also understands Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyaso Veti. Vedavyasa Maharshi understands Srimad Bhagavatam. And then who else? Vyaso Veti Chanarada. Also Srinarada Maharshi understands Srimad Bhagavatam. We all understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva, Sukadeva Goswami, Vedavyasa Maharshi and Srinarada Maharshi. These are the great personalities who brought the Srimad Bhagavatam to this world, isn't it? So they all understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. But then he says, Sridhara Sakalam Veti. Sridharacharya Swamiji understands everything about Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the commentary from Lord Shiva to Acharya Swamiji. Sridhara Sakalam Veti. And the reason for that is Sri Narasimha Prasadada. Narasimhamurti is pleased with him. If Narasimhamurti is pleased with someone, then he does not require any further approval from anyone, is there? That is Sridhara Swami's special and good fortune. Sridhara Sakalam Veti Sri Narasimha Prasadada. Narasimha Prasadada. Narasimhamurti is pleased with him. The result was that Bhavartha Divya came from Sridhara Swami. Sridhara Swami spent long time in Benares while writing this commentary. And it's a temple called Bindu Madhava in Benares, where you can still go and see where this commentary was written. And after the commentary was written, all the other scholars rejected his commentary. They rejected his commentary because Benares was always a place where all the great scholars of different philosophical groups used to assemble and discuss about their different commentaries on the Vedic literature. So Sridhara Swami felt unhappy about it, but due to a special mercy from Bindu Madhava, who was the deity in the temple, along with all the other commentaries, Sridhara Swami's commentary was also put into the river, in Ganga River. And when it was put in the Ganga River, Every other commentary went down in the water, and it seems that the Sridhar Swami's commentary stayed on top of the water, unaffected by everything. At that time, the scholars were amazed by the special nature of the special acceptance of Krishna or Sridhar Swami's commentary. And from then on, all the scholars paid their respects to the Sridhar Swami for this commentary. And since then, Sridhar Swami wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita also. But his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam became so popular compared to all other commentaries. And precisely that is the reason why Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book, while commenting on the Shuddha Gita, has taken most of the, has followed the footsteps of Sridhar Swami and explained things in the same direction as Sridhar Swami has explained. This is just a small background of the commentary on the Shuddha Gita. Now, why is Shuddha Gita so difficult? Shuddha Gita begins with a discussion between Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit was asking Sukadeva Goswami, we'll see in the first verse itself, Shri Parikshit Vajam Brahman Brahman Nirdeshe Nirgune Gunavrtaya Katham Charande Shudaya Sakshal Sadasada Parim. Then Krishna, who is in the spiritual world, in Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra means the sleep of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is known as Yoga Nidra. It doesn't sleep like the way we sleep. Krishna's sleep is different. It's called Yoga Nidra. Then at that time, Krishna was glorified by the personified Vedas. And therefore, this part is called as Vedastuti also. Or otherwise, it's also called as Shuddha Gita. Shuddha Gita or Vedastuti, in both ways, both names are used for these prayers. Then, in the last chapter, if you look, just before the end of the chapter, in verse 54 of the chapter 86, there was a statement there. Na brahmanan me deidam rupameda chaturbhujam rupameda chaturbhujam that sarva vedamayo vipra sarva devamayo hyaham sarva vedamayo vipra sarva devamayo aham. Krishna says like that in that. Sarva vedamayo vipra, brahmana represents all the Vedas, and sarva devamayas aham, I represent all what is seen here as representatives of the Supreme Lord. When I am the Supreme Lord, everyone else represents me. So, Krishna has spoken like this in the previous chapter. And in the same way, in this chapter also, if you look, you will find there that Sukadeva Goswami was questioned by Parikshit Maharaj in this way. Brahman Brahmanya Nardeshe Nargune Gunavrataya Katham Charandishulaya Sakshal Sadasada Parim. That this word Brahman is used in all the Upanishads, particularly in Upanishads. And in the Shrutis also, there is the word used as Brahman. So, Brahman, Brahman, Yanardeshayam, Nirgune, Gunavrtayam. It is difficult to explain what is Brahman, what is the Absolute Truth. That is what the Shastram is saying. It is difficult to explain that because in Shrutis, what is expressed is that which cannot be explained. For example, if you want to express something, the object should have a color or a form or a size, big or small, or a beginning or an end, and things like that. All this is required to explain that something what you do not know. But such a thing has been explained in the Vedas, in Shruti. Shruti has taken that responsibility to explain such thing. But the difficulty is that Shruti is all words, isn't it? They are words, which means, again, the words are used under the modes of nature, modes of material nature. So something which is beyond the three modes of material nature, how can that be explained by words alone? This was Parikshit Maharaj's question, which is a very important question. That's why he said, Nirguna gunavrutayem, Nirguni gunavrutaya, katham charandishulaya, sakshal sadasada parem. That I cannot understand this, he says, Parikshit says to Sudev Goswami, that you could explain something which does not have any of these, that could be explained by words in the Shruti. And in answer to that, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question. In answer to that, Sukadeva Goswami says, Buddhindriyamana prananjananamasajal prabho martha arthanja bhavarthanja alpane agalpanayajam. What has Krishna given us? Krishna has given us intelligence, mind, senses, and pranam. Jananam asrajal prabhu marthartanja bhavartanja alpane agalpanayajam. Then Krishna created us in such a way, he has given us all these things, but why did he give these senses to us? Why? Senses were given to us, we take it for granted. We have got the senses, so we have to enjoy the senses. That's our understanding. But Vedastudi Parishri Sukadeva Goswami says here that senses were not given to you just for sense enjoyment alone. Rather, it was given to you not only, sense enjoyment is not the main object of these senses, but utilize the senses to advance on the spiritual side, spiritual life. In other words, Krishna consciousness. That's why matra arthanja bhava arthanja alpane agalpanayajam. That is the verdict from Sudeva Goswami. If one mistakenly thinks that I have been given the senses only to enjoy senses, then he is lost. He could not utilize his body properly. All these senses, mind, intelligence, buddhi, indriyamana, prana, everything else been given only for one thing. Matha arthanja bhava arthanja alpani agalpanayaja. It's been given for only one purpose, not for sense enjoyment is allowed in a limited manner, which is not against the principles of religion. But real purpose of giving this material body is to advance in Krishna consciousness. Matra arthanja bhava arthanja alpani agalpanayaja. That is what the Shruti Gita Sudeva Goswami says about this thing. That material sense enjoyment, that is there. But apart from that, ultimately, how to turn oneself towards Krishna and go back home back to Krishna. Sesha Upanishad Brahmi Purvesham Purvajayadrata Shaddhaya Dharayeliyastam Kshemangachedakim Janam. Then, many great personalities have understood this principle prior to this. And one who understands this from the spiritual master and thinks about it in depth and in due course of time fixes mind properly in this way through Shravanam, through the hearing process, Mananam, contemplation. And then he will realize it, that his identity. Sesha Upanishad Brahmi Purvesham Purvajair Dridaha Yashradhaya Dharayeliyastam Shemam Gachedakinchanam Atradevar Naishyami Gadham Narayananvidam Narada Sajasamvadam Krisher Narayanasyajam. That in order to understand this, Sudeva Goswami says, I will explain an incident what happened prior to many years ago, much before this conversation between Sudeva Goswami and Parikshit, where Sri Narada Maharshi and Narayana Maharshi, they met with each other in Kalabagramam, that is near Badrinath, where they met with each other. And this question was raised there also. Sri Narada Maharshi also raised this question to Narayana Maharshi. Who is Narayana Maharshi? Narayana Maharshi is Krishna himself. So Narada Maharshi asked this question, what Parikshit has asked Sudeva Goswami, sometime before, and here Sudeva Goswami says, I will repeat what I heard from them at that time. Normally, the Narada Maharshi is always speaking and others listen. Like you see, Narada Maharshi was speaking and Vedavyasa Maharshi was listening. And everywhere you will find the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Maharshi instructing others. But here you will find Sri Narayana Maharshi, Krishna is speaking and Narada Maharshi is listening. Ekada Narado Lohan Paryadan Bhagaval Priya Sanadana Krishim Drashtam Eyo Narayana Ashramam. This great devotee Sri Narada Maharshi traveled in many places in this world and eventually he came to Sri Narayana Maharshi in Badri Ashram. Yove Bharatavarshesmin Kshemaya Swastayinanam ധർമ്മജ്ഞാനശമോ വേദം അകൽപാദാസ്ഥിതസ്തവാം. വൈ ഇസ് നാരായണ മഹർഷി ലിവിംഗ് ഇൻ ബദ്രിനാഥ്? വൈ ഡസ് ഹി ലിവ് ദേർ? ശ്രീ നാരായണ മഹർഷി പെർഫോംസ് വെരി സിവിയർ ഓസ്റ്റെരിറ്റീസ് ആൻഡ് ഫിനൻസസ് ഫോർ ഓൾ ദിസ് കൽപ്പം. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദ ഹോൾ ഡേ ഓഫ് ലോർഡ് ബ്രഹ്മ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ വൗ ഹി ഹാസ് ടേക്കൺ. ആൻഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് ഫിനൻസസ് ഓഫ് നാരായണ മഹർഷി, this earthly planet is still able to survive. Well, perhaps we may not understand them, because this planet we think is going on because it is kept there for us to enjoy it, isn't it? That's how we see it. But according to Shastram, that it is the austerities and penances of the great sages that keeps this earthly planet, and still it is tolerating all the mischiefs what we do here. That we come here without any understanding or any sense of responsibility. We come here, engages in all kinds of exploitations, give as much trouble as possible to everybody, including the material nature and to others. And then one day we go from here after finishing our so-called duty. So while living, by then we have done enough damage here by our very presence, because that's our understanding here when we come, that it's all for me to exploit here. So in that mood we continue. Suppose the whole 5-6 billion does the same thing in this world, and Mother Earth has to tolerate this all the time about our activities, because we do not have any consideration for anyone else except for our own sense gratification. So because it is like that, somebody else has to compensate our sinful activity. To a large degree, the great sages do that. And Narayana Maharshi has taken a lot of responsibility on our behalf, that agalpagalam സാധുജനാപേക്ഷിൽ നാരായണോ നരസഹ. ദാറ്റ് നാരായണ, നാരായണ ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ, നരസഹ അർജുന ഫ്രണ്ട് ഈസ് പെർഫോമിംഗ് ആ കൽപ്പകാലം സാധുജനാപേക്ഷിൽ. ഫോർ ദ പ്രൊട്ടക്ഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഹി ഈസ് പെർഫോമിംഗ് ഓസ്റ്ററിറ്റീസ് ആൻഡ് പെനൻസസ്. ഈവൻ ഇഫ് യു കൻ ഇമാജിൻ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, ആസ് സൂൺ ആസ് യു സ്പീക്ക് ദ വേർഡ് റിലിജ്യൻ, പീപ്പിൾ ഡു നോട്ട് വാണ്ട് ടു ഹിയർ എനിത്തിങ് അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ്. They think that, what is this thing? It is an opium, they say. Mao Zedong has said that it's an opium to control others' life. And this ignorance is perpetrated very strongly by the big leaders. And they not only perpetrate that, anyone who takes to religious process, different ways they look at them. They think that, why has this person taken to religious life? There must be something wrong with him. That's why he is doing this whole morning hours, is getting up so early and sitting there chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Can he not sleep very well in the morning? Is he not getting sleep? This will be, some people may ask that question. Someone else says in a different way. They are saying that they are spending so much time in cooking for these so-called deities, they say. So much ghee is poured into the fire, all that is a waste of energy. That is another commentary on the spiritual life. They think, why you are spending so much time in decorating these deities, statues as they say, and you spend all your time without anything productive. As far as they are concerned, productive means you should be running at 7 in the morning to the shop floor or the factory or the stock exchange or wherever that is to make your day. But because you are not doing that, they get very upset and they are saying that you are engaged in so-called spiritual life, no productivity from there. So like this, so many different comments will come from those who have no faith in any of the Shastric injunctions. So such people, they will misguide and misdirect people. And the result is that engages in sinful activities. Because when there is no control from anywhere, ultimately our mind will start dictating, do this, do that, and make the best out of it, best out of the life. And for them, life begins at 40 after that. So in this way, all kinds of ideas come about. But because of our sinful activities, great sages have, in order to protect us and provide a certain facility for the devotees to be protected, that is why, agalpakalam sadhujanabirakshil, only for the protection of the devotees, narayano narasakha, that Arjuna's friend Krishna and Narayana Maharshi is performing austerities and penances for the protection of the devotees. So that is what Narayana Maharshi is doing there, and he will do that for the rest of the kalpam, the whole day of Lord Brahma. So that is where Sri Narada Maharshi goes to see him. Tatrova Vishtamushavi Kalabagrama Vasavi Paridam Pranado Harcham Idameva Guru Dvaham.
There is also that place is called that ashramam, where Narayana Maharshi is performing these austerities and penances. That place is also called Kalapagramam. That is what is mentioned. Kalapagramavasivi paridam pranadomrucham idameva kuru dvaham. That lot of great sages were sitting there next to Narayana Maharshi, and that is where this discussion is happening. That Narayana Maharshi was very peacefully situated, and this question asked, how does the Shruti, personified Vedas, talks about Brahman? This was the question that was raised there. Tasmai avajal bhagavan krishinam shrunvadam idam yo brahmavada purvesham janaloga nivasinam. Narayana Maharshi, in answer to that, says to Sri Narada Muni like this. The four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara, they are the four Kumaras. They are called Purvesham Janaloga Nivasinam. They live in Janaloka. Janaloka means that Janaloka means when you move from the earthly planet towards Brahmalokam or Satyalokam, Brahma's planet, once you leave the Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam, that is the planetary systems. Heavenly planets are Bhurlogam and Surlogam. After that, on the border between the Karma Mandalam and the Jnana Mandalam, there is what is known as Maharlogam. Those personalities in Maharlogam, they can come here and they can go up also. But generally those personalities on the boundary of the Karma Mandalam and Jnana Mandalam, that's where they live. So this Maharlogam, on top of that, is Janalogam. So in Janalogam, the four Kumaras live. After Janalogam, you will have Tapologam, great sages live there, and above that, there is Satyalogam, Brahma's planet, or Brahmalogam, whatever that is called. So like this, in this universe, all these planets exist, and they are subtle planets, where we will not be able to access by any means. Our mechanical equipments won't take us there. We can't go there. We can only go to Moon or to Saturn or some places, Mars and places like that, and come back and say there's nothing there. So this is what we can do. This is our limitation. We are stopped there. But Shastram is saying in those days they knew all these planets existed. Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tamalogam, Satyalogam. They are all part of this universe. And there is life there. And but only thing is that life is not perceived by us with our so-called eyes and senses. Unfortunately, it's on a different plane altogether. So because of the deep consideration, deep identification with these gross senses and the body, we become misled by Maya. Maya is giving us this understanding that everything you perceive through your senses is the only truth. Everything else is false. This way Maya has tricked us already from here, before we get up from this ground. So this is our position. And still, we are very proudly declaring that there's nothing else exists because of this. So here there is a discussion quoted. Sudeva Goswami saying this to Parishit Maharaj, spoken by between Narayana Maharshi and Srinarayana Maharshi in Badrinath in Kalapagramam, of a discussion that happened between the four Kumaras, particularly Sanaga Maharshi, and asked this question to Lord Brahma. And there was a discussion, and Brahma has answered that question. And Narada Maharshi says there, and Narayana Maharshi says this to Sri Narada Maharshi. Shri Bhagavanu Vaja, Swayambhuva Brahma Satram Janalogi Abhavalpura Tatrasthana Manasana Nininam Urdhvaredasam. Then Brahmaputra addressing Sri Narada Maharshi like this, Lord Brahma is saying that, you are qualified to hear about this discussion, what happened. Then those who are living in Janaloka and who were born from Brahma's mind, and they were all brahmacharis, naishtika brahmacharis. Naishtika brahmacharis means never they were married. And so these naishtika brahmacharis are considered superior because of their special position, that they have not experienced any kind of any kind of relationship with the opposite sex in any way. Even thoughts have not occurred in their mind. They are so pure in their heart. Then they have been performing there, and there was a Brahma Satram. Brahma Satram means a sacrifice. there is different kinds of satram, Brahma satram, Karma satram. You will find all kinds of satrams mentioned there. Naimisharanyam, you find there was a satram there. It's beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find. So what happens in this satram is, all the great sages will arrive there, and there will be questions and answers by different personalities. Very, very advanced sages, great, great personalities will be present there. And why they arrive there? Because they will know these things in whichever part of the universe they live, where they are, they will get to know about this because of their powerful yogic power they have developed from their yoga systems. They are all great personalities, Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, and four Kumaras. And you don't have to send them an email or mobile text message or anything to get them to come for the meeting. No, their way of communication is different. In which part of the universe they are, it does not matter. They can still get there on time whenever there is such a discussion. And because those personalities have performed such severe austerities and penances, their knowledge is so high and realizations are so high that when they discuss a topic, there is an opportunity for many other sages who are wanted to understand things better. They will get an opportunity to ask questions, and the advanced or highly realized personalities will answer their questions. This is what is known as Brahma Satram. So this Brahma Satram was going on in that place, and when there is a fire sacrifice or in the form of a sacrifice from the Vedic sacrifices is performed, that is called as Karma Satram. In Brahma Satram, it is mostly what happens is the discussion in relationship with the knowledge of the truth. In Karma Satram, what happens is a discussion in relationship with the sacrifices, or through sacrifices placing the absolute truth. So these are the different kinds of satrams, sacrifices that happens there. One who is trying to understand Brahman, mostly these are the impersonalists who try to understand the Brahman. They are these personalities, like the Kumaras, four Kumaras, they were present there at that time, and they are all Brahmajnanis. Brahmajnani means one who knows Brahman. They have realizations, they already know, they are way ahead of the ordinary people, because they have for ages, they have performed austerities and penances and purified themselves, acquired a very high degree of knowledge, a very high degree of realizations in them, that they are as close to Krishna, and Krishna is very fond of them. You will see in Bhagavatam in different places. Shvetadyurvam gadavaditvaidrashtam dadi ishwaryam brahmavadasa samvrtashudayo yatra sherade tatrahayam abhul prashnastvamam yadanu prachasim. That Siddhartha Maharshi was Siddhartha Maharshi was thinking, why wasn't I there at that time when this discussion happened? It is called Brahma Vicharam. In other words, the analysis in their way, in the sages, in their own style, analyzing the absolute truth. Sanaga, the four Kumaras were conducting that in Janalokam, and that is where this discussion happened. And Srinatha Maharshi wasn't there. But when this incident happened, that Srinatha Maharshi has went to see Aniruddha, who is Krishna's grandson, but in the spiritual world, Vasudeva, Sankrishna, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, the quadruple expansions of Krishna, are known as Chaturvyuham. So Narada Maharshi has gone to see Aniruddha in Shvetadvip, and therefore Narada Maharshi did not participate in that discussion. Then, but there this question was raised and discussion happened. Tulya Shruta Tapashinam Tulya Striya Hari Madhyamaha Abhi Chakra Pravachanam Eka Shishrushavo Aparem. That Sanaga, the four Kumaras, they are fully realized souls. And who has spoken and who has answered, that is being mentioned here. All of them, all the four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara, all of them in austerities and penances, in knowledge and in all other qualities, they were equally high. And all of them, they realized conditions, they had the Samabhavana. That means they were able to see all living entities equal. That is the symptom of a realized soul. Like in the Bhagavad Gita also it says there, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shobageja Pandita Samadarshinaha. That Samadarshanam, that is or equal vision to all the living entities, to see everyone on a spiritual platform. That is what is the knowledge means, realization means. And when one gets to that stage, he is considered as educated. Otherwise, he is not educated from the Vedic point of view. If one is educated, means he has come to that point of understanding that it is Krishna's part and parcel, the living entity. All spirit souls are in different bodies or different cages, what you can say. They are situated in that and they only see the spirit that is present within the body. When we look at others, we see everything different. Black, white, yellow, and all other kind of beautiful, ugly, every kind of perceptions through our senses we perceive this. And we think this is true. And that is how we are trapped in this understanding. But those who are realized, like Fukur Kumaras, they have a different understanding. Samadarshinam, they are equal vision to all the other living entities. Then, so one person has spoken, Sanandana Maharshi has spoken. What does Sanandana say? So srishtam idamabhi yashayana shayanam sahashaktivi tadandi bhodayam chakrus talingai shudayaparam. Then Krishna is lying in yoga nidra, and all this created manifestation, or the which is originally in the subtle form, as manifested in the gross form. Like, for example, all that is created from Krishna, like this millions and millions of universes, what we see. We don't see everything. We only see one universe and part of that, and that one planet we see. And sitting here, we speculate everything what we think that is there, and that we keep changing also all the time. So this gross manifestation of Krishna in the form of this whole creation, this exists in Krishna in a subtle form. That is called Sushma Prakriti. Sushma Avastha, or the Prakriti, or the manifested form of the material of the whole creation in an unmanifested form present in Krishna in the subtle way. That is called Sushma Prakriti. That when Krishna, before creation begins, he goes into Yoga Nidra for a very long time. Even when Lord Brahma goes and joins Krishna at that time, only actually Krishna exists, and from Krishna all the creation begins. And it lasts for a very, very, very long time, beyond our understanding. And it is that time all this messing around is going on in all this creation. And one day when Krishna withdraws everything, like you can see in the Brahmastuti, in the Bhagavatam, it says there that millions of universes are coming out and millions of them are going in as well. What they have finished their creation time, created time, they have finished the time they were meant to stay. And they are finished and they are going back to the Supreme Personality. Similarly, many are coming out. So this process is constantly going on. And when does this happen? That at that time, Shuddhi, when Krishna was in that Yoga Nidra, in that sleep, at that time the Vedas personified, glorifies Krishna. Yadha shayanam samrajam vandinastalpara akramehi Pradushebhyetyasushlogerbodayandyanujivinaham. Then, just like when great personalities, great kings and emperors in this world, when there were kings and emperors in this world, when they sleep in the night, in the morning they are woken up by those who glorify him, talks about his different heroic activities, and they are woken up. So, similarly, Krishna has been glorified by the personified Vedas at that time in a similar way. And that is what is known as Shruti Gita or Vedasthuti. So, from now on, it's all spoken by Shrutish, Shrutaya Uchu. The Shrutis are speaking this, all the verses from now on to the end, it is the glorification of the Shrutis. Now, before we read those verses, there are a few things to understand. Why this glorification is so difficult? The way Krishna has been glorified in these things is, Brahman is a verse used. It says in the beginning, Brahman Brahmanya Nirdeshe Nirgune Gunavrittayaha. The difficulty was spoken in the beginning, that something, Brahman has no form, and how to explain that, through which has no form, no shape, nothing, and the description of that in the Upanishads is such that when one reads that, one does not understand anything from there. This is the most interesting part of that. So, Shrutis don't say anything about Brahman. But saying not this, not this, not this, rejects everything. And what is not rejected, that is Brahman, it says. So what will you understand if somebody says like this to you? Brahman, it says, it's not this. Nedi, 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 keeps repeating. And it is one after the other, rejecting everything. And at the end says, that what is not rejected, if anything is left behind, that is Brahman. So how will you understand it? What will you follow from this? If you explain, if you talk about Supreme Personality like this, what can the ordinary people do with our mind intelligence? What we will perceive? We will say, we'll leave it there at the moment. We'll go and do something else. So, because it is like that, Shrutis have spoken like this about Brahman. That's how Shrutis have spoken about that. Now, if you look at Brahmasuti also, it will say, you cannot understand Brahman. It is not possible. There are so many people who will say, I have seen the light, I have seen this, that and the other. But at the end of the day, unless you understand what you are talking about, it is very difficult. It will all remain as a complete unknown factor still in our mind. So therefore, the understanding of Brahman is a difficult thing because of the way it is discussed in the Shruti. Shruti means Vedas. Vedas have discussed it like that. And therefore, difficulty to understand also. Swanubhavadayam, it is. But Lord Brahma says that you can't understand him by your intelligence or by expressing something. But somehow or the other, if you can experience that, what it is, then you, there is a possibility. It says like, Arubhavadayam, Ananyabhavadalmadayam. All this is in the Brahma Sutra. Lord Brahma says like this. That you can understand many, many things, but ultimately it is difficult to understand. That is conclusion of the Shruti, Vedas. Then we come to Upanishads. Upanishads means what? Upanishads means also is the same thing. Upanishads' explanation of Brahman is also in the same way. Just like, suppose, you want to see the moon, and it's not a full moon day. The moon has just coming out from the new moon day. New moon day, it's only a small moon you can see, isn't it? It's just a small line in the sky. And day by day grows in size. And by the full moon day, you can see the full moon if there is no clouds in the sky. But from the new moon day onwards, sometimes people want to see the moon. So someone comes out of the house and start looking for the moon all over the sky. He can't see the moon anywhere because the moon is only just one line on the first or second day after the new moon day. So he's not able to see the moon. So he asks someone else, have you seen the moon? He says, yes, I have seen the moon, but I can't see it, he says. I looked at the sky, I can't see the moon, he says. So the other person says, alright, come here, I will show you, he says. And he takes him and he says to him, look at that mango tree there. He says, can you see that mango tree? He says, yes, I can see the mango tree. Can you see that big branch going towards the right? He says, I can see that branch which going towards the right. Can you see another branch coming out right in the middle going to the top? He says, I can see that. Keep looking on that branch at the very top of that branch. And if you look there, you will see the moon there, he says. So that is how you can get to see the moon. And then he says, yes, I can see the moon now, he says. Why? By now, the moon is, the mango tree is here, moon is there in the sky, no connections. But some or the other, you have directed him in such a way that his eyes have lost all other vision and it started getting focused towards that particular point through which the vision has shown him the moon, isn't it? So similarly, Upanishads also does the same thing. Upanishads brings us close to Brahman, and at the last minute, what does Upanishad say? This is how far I can bring you. After this, I can't bring you. Now you find out yourself from now on. That's why it's called Upanishads. Upanishads means that something which bring you closer. Closer to the truth. Closer to the truth. So it has brought us close to the truth, and from there, Upanishads have left to us to search from there further. You can search for him from afterwards, but Upanishads can help you in that process. That's all it can do. So this thing called this search for the absolute truth in this way is Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. If you study Bhagavad Gita, you will find in the 12th chapter, Krishna says that don't go to that route. You are not going to get very far. Why? Klesho atigatarastesham avyakta sakta chedasam avyakta higadir dukham dehavad bhiravapyade. Krishna is not saying that the process is wrong. Process is not wrong. But you are going to struggle a lot in that. That's why it said klesho atigatarastesham. It's really klesham. It's really distressful, that process. Avyaktam. Avyaktam, it is not clear. The impersonal side. Brahman, what is clear? What is Brahman? Who knows what it is? Avyaktam asakta chedasam. And if you get attached to this Brahman realization, avyakta hi gadir dukham, then your misery starts from there onwards. Dehava adhirava apyade. For the embodied soul, this is not a very easy process to follow. It is not going to work. It's a difficult thing, very, very difficult process. So, Krishna has explained that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, about the difficulty of following that road. Brahman brahmanya nardeshe nirgune gunavurtaya katham charandishudaya sachal sadasadapareem. That something on which you cannot discuss, you cannot say anything, that is nirgunam. Nirgunam means one does not have any material attributes, which has spiritual attributes, which we do not understand because we are in the material consciousness. So one does not have the spiritual material attributes, that is known as nirgune nirgunam. So nirgune gunavrtaya. So what happens is, people sometimes come to this understanding that nirguna means something very superior, which has no qualities. Which has no qualities. So it must be the superior one. It is true also that nirgunam is a superior one. That nirguna means one does not have material qualities. Not that it doesn't have any qualities. It has no material qualities. That is why how it is expressed there. So sometimes with this understanding, we approach Krishna in this way. And we start, people who are gone in this Brahman realization road, they start looking down upon devotees, thinking that what does the devotees understand? It is all under the modes of nature. They start thinking that all the devotees do are under the modes of nature. That is how they start analyzing it. And because modes of nature is our biggest problem, they are thinking that devotees are also under the modes of nature. And they start making, and they say that how you will be able to free yourself from the three modes of material nature. And they call this as sagunam, or the under the with qualities. And they will start speaking in such a way that worship of the Supreme Lord under this process is still a sagunam and not nirgunam. They will start differentiating between sagunam and nirgunam. Nirgunam means without material quality. Sagunam means with under the modes of nature or the qualities. So in that way they will speak in a way that it is not due to their own lack of understanding. What can we do? We can only say one thing about this, that when people take to such understanding, they find it very difficult, and not only that, they obviously do not understand Srimad Bhagavatam. If you understand Srimad Bhagavatam, if you study Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna's instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, later on, Krishna says, what is nirgunam? What is nirgunam? Krishna has spoken. Krishna has spoken what is nirgunam. And if we do not accept Krishna's instructions on nirgunam, then we are lost. We have no chance of understanding the absolute truth, Krishna. So Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Manniketam tu nirgunam. Wherever I am worshipped, that place is nirgunam. In other words, temple is nirgunam. Temple is nirgunam. We cannot say temple is not nirgunam. Wherever bona fide worship of the Supreme Personality, Krishna, goes on in the proper way, that place is nirgunam. There, modes of nature cannot touch. This is Krishna's instruction. Why we should not accept that? Why we should go in a direction which is difficult and which is not practical for us. All the Vedas personified are glorifying Krishna. They are all glorifying Krishna. Shruti Gita is only nothing but glorification of Krishna. And Krishna is telling us, follow this route and come to me. But we say to Krishna, no, 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 we want Nirgunam, we don't want you. We will go the other route. So what can we do? So that is why in the Bhagavatam, these things have been brought out very nicely to tell us that mani ge edam tu nirgunam, as far as Krishna is concerned, wherever Krishna's holy names are chanted, where the holy name is chanted, the holy name is nirgunam. Srimad Bhagavatam is nirgunam. Deity worship is nirgunam. Prasadam is nirgunam. All this is nirgunam. Krishna is saying this in the Bhagavatam. In spite of all this, they will not come to it. They will still say, no, no, I am worshipping Brahman and I have seen this light and that light and I will do so many other things, but they will not accept Krishna's instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is where all these difficulties have come. So because of that, many of them, because of their fear of the modes of nature, they have fear of the modes of nature, and because they do not know how to come out of the modes of nature by surrendering to Krishna, they are not devotees. And because of that, they fall into this trap of Brahman realization. And that causes a lot of difficulties. And they struggle very hard with it. That's what Krishna says. You struggle very hard with that process. Why do you want to go through that route? And when you follow that route, then there is no possibility of the realizing the truth like the way the devotee sees Krishna. Krishna's relationship with the devotee is nirgunam. That is not based on sagunam. Krishna is about the three modes of nature. Once the link with Krishna is established by the devotee, he is freed from the three modes of material nature. Prasadam is nirgunam. Srimad Bhagavatam is nirgunam. The holy name of Krishna is nirgunam. The temple worship is nirgunam. All this is nirgunam. That's not affected by any of the three modes of material nature. Although sometimes we may see so many things happening in temples and in our own life also, we may experience different things, but that is only due to our own consciousness not elevated from the modes of nature. The association with the modes of nature and our own purva samskaram is causing the difficulties. But strictly speaking, wherever Krishna consciousness is practiced rigidly according to the rules and regulations and sincerely done, that place is nirgunam. That temple is nirgunam. There is no doubt about that. So, from now on, the nirgunam, what is discussed in the Bhagavatam, is nothing but the personality, Supreme Personality of Godhead and His attributes. So, the prayers from Shruti Gita, or the prayers from the Shruteya Uchu, or the Vedas personified, I will read those verses, and because it is very difficult to translate that, the best thing what one could do is to read Srila Prabhupada's commentary on these verses in the Krishna book. That will be the easiest thing to do. If you are attached to that kind of philosophy seriously, perhaps when you read even the commentary from Prabhupada, it is pretty difficult many times, the Vedas personified prayers. But there is one good thing, that for every verse, Sridharacharya Swamiji has commented a much simpler way, which Srila Prabhupada has also quoted in the Krishna book. So what I'll do is I'll read the original verses in the Shruti Gita, and I'll read the verse of Sridharacharya Swamiji after that, and also talk about that verses, because it is much more simplified in the commentary from Sridharacharya Swamiji. Shrutaya Vuchu, verse 14, chapter 87. Jaya jaya jekhya jama jita dosha kribida gunam tomasiya dalpana samavarudda samastha bhaga akajagado agasama hila shakti avabhodagade kujita jaya alpana jacharado nujaren nigamam. That is the Vedas personifying, glorifying Krishna. And Sridharacharya Swamiji's commentary on that. Jay jaya jida jakhyaga jankama vridhima jamu banita mrisha gunam nahi bhavanda mrde bhavan prabhavandhyami nagamagita gunarna vadatavam. material nature cannot actually win over Supreme Personality Krishna. Material nature control all of us, but she cannot touch the Supreme Lord. And all these living entities in this material world who have accepted different material bodies, their permanent happiness, our permanent happiness in other words, is covered by the three modes of nature. And in order to free ourselves from this coverage of the modes of nature, only one person can do it, and that's you, to Krishna, says Shri Rajari Swamiji. Jai Jaya Ida Jehingama Jehyaka Jangama Vridima Jamumani Damrisha Gunam Nahi Bhavandam Ride Prabhavandyami Nagamagi Dagunarna Vadatava. Please show some mercy on us. Sri Rajari Swamiji starts the commentary like this, that I am trapped in Maya. Maya has trapped me. And because Maya is around me, I cannot see you. I cannot see Krishna here. That is a position with all of us. But because Sri Rajari Swamiji is a great personality who had that high degree of realization that Maya is, for us, even we don't worry about that so much. Whether Maya is there or not, what does it matter? This is our approach. Some people say there is a thing called Maya. But our mind has not got that deep about it. So we don't worry about it so much. But Sri Rajari Swamiji worried about Maya a lot. You'll find in all the verses from now on, talks about Maya. So what does Maya do? Maya is, that is separating us from Krishna. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, we have seen this, isn't it? That Vedavyasa Maharshi also saw this. Mayam cha tadupashrayam. Maya is standing there between Vedavyasa and Krishna. And Vedavyasa could see Maya standing there. Similarly, all these great personalities, they are very quick to sense the presence of Maya. And us, even after spoken millions of years, still we will think, does it want to exist or is it all just a con? That's what we will say about Maya, isn't it? It is so difficult for people to see that Maya exists in this world. And Maya's presence, how we are trapped in this illusory energy, or called Maya. Material energy is called Maya. Prabhupada calls it the, how Prabhupada put it in the verses, the hard struggle for material existence, he says. Why this hard struggle has come? Living entity by nature is eternal, blissful and knowledge. But it takes great pleasure in struggling in this world to carry on struggling for day after day just to maintain himself, this temporary material body. If this is not Maya, what else is it? That was the question. Jai Jaya Jira Jehyaga Jangama Vidhimachamunidam Rishagunam Nahi Bhavannam Rade Bhavandemi Nagamagita Gunarna Vadatavam. Then Brihadubalabdhameda Davayam Devasheshadaya Yada Udayastamayo Vigrade Mrdiva Vigrada Adakrishamayo Dadustai Manu Vajana Charidam Kathamayada Bhavandibuidattabadanimrinam. And that's the second verse. Sri Rajari Swamiji's commentary. Duhinavani Remindra Mukhamaran Chakridam Nabhave Pradaguttidam Bahomogayami Mandrayanayajastamira Murtirato Vinigadhya same. Sri Rajari Swami says there, Brahma, Agni, fire, sun god, Surya, Indra, so many demigods, their names are mentioned in the Vedas through different mantras. And because it's spoken like that, it does not mean that this material world has no relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All that it means is that Krishna has got so many other servants in existing in different forms. And these mantras are actually only glorifying those personalities who are actually the servants of Krishna. That it does not show that there are many other devadas or demigods in this world. They are actually Krishna's servants here. And they come from Krishna and eventually they go back to Krishna. The Supreme Personality, origin, is what Brahma Samhita says that Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachida Ananda Vigraha Anadiradi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So Krishna is the cause, and all the other demigods mentioned in the Vedic mantras, they are the effect. Ididavasmarastri Adhipade Akhila Lokamala Kshavanakatha Amudabdi Avagahya Tapamsi Juhu Kimuda Vunasudhama Vidudashe Kalaguna Paramabhajandiye Padamajastra Sukhanubhavam. Commentary by Sri Rajari Swamiji. Sakala Deva Guneri Dasalguna സമിതി സർവമനീഷി ജനാരദ ത്വയി സുഭദ്രഗുണ ശ്രവാദിമി തവ പദസ്മരണേ നഗതക്ലമാം. Great personalities or great knowledgeable people, realized souls, they know that all the demigods, that they are also glorifying the Supreme Personality, Krishna. And these great souls, they take pleasure, great pleasure in hearing about you, in hearing about you, your glories or your transcendental qualities. And simply by hearing about them, they become very pleased and happy. And they make their life successful in this way by hearing about the Supreme Personality. That's what Sri Rajana Swamiji says there. So in other words, these Sudeva Goswami wanted to say to Parikshit here at this point at the end of 10th canto that do not misunderstand that all these pastimes I have spoken is just stories. They are not just stories. They are actually relationship with Krishna for the devotee. And these stories, if one hears, that is Nirgunam. Srimad Bhagavatam is Nirgunam. All these pastimes of Krishna is Nirgunam. And therefore, great, great personalities, they take pleasure through these stories in glorifying Krishna. And they become satisfied and peaceful and get their way through into the spiritual world from that. ദൃദയമേ വശസം യസുബ്രതോ യദി വേനുവിധ മഹർഹമാദയോ അണ്ഡമസൃജൻ യദനുഗ്രഹകാം പുരുഷവിധോ നയോത്ര ചരമോന്നമയാദിഷുയ സദസദപരം ത്വമത യദ്വേഷവശേഷമൃതം. ദാറ്റ് നരവപോപതിപദ്ദേതി ത്വയി ശ്രവണവർണ്ണന സംസ്മരണാദിവി നരഹരേന ഭജന്തി തൃണാമിതം പ്രതിവദുച്യുസിതം വിഫലം തദാം. ശ്രീരാചാര്യസ് വേഴ്സ്. ശ്രീരാചാര്യ സ്വാമി സേസ് many acharyas have spoken about this earlier. After getting a human body, after getting a human body, still he is not using his ears to hear about Krishna. That is his misfortune, says Sri Rajarya Swamiji. Says like that, instead of meditating on Krishna, instead of glorifying Krishna, instead of hearing about Krishna, he is simply engaged in, if he is not using that, using his life for that purpose, then life is a waste of time. That is what he says here. Narava bhupadvaddi ditva ishavana varnana samsparana adivi narahare na bhajandi nranamidam dhridivaduch uchasidam vibhalam tada. Such a person, if he is breathing, it is just like the bellow in the blacksmith's place. He is breathing. The bellow in and out, air comes in and out. That's all. Nothing happens from that. Isn't it? So, similarly, Sri Rajarya Swamiji says, Narahari na bhajanti trinamidam dhridivaduchyasidam vibhalam dada. All his breathing is a waste of time. Narahari, addressing Narasimha Murthy, Sri Rajarya Swamiji says like this. Udaram upasadeya krishi varpa sakurpadrisha parisara paddhatim hridayam arunayodaharam tada udagadanandana vadhama shira paramam punirihayal samethyana patandikradam dhamukhem. Then, on in this verse, Sridharajari Swamiji's commentary is Udaradishayapam sam chindido minivarmavi handim mrityavayam devo hargadam tamavasmahem. That all through our body, including the stomach and all other different important places, Krishna is present there and looking after us in different ways. This material body is nothing but Krishna is protecting it all the time. In different places, under different forms, he is present in us. And he is keeping this body functioning in this world. Do we recognize any of these things? What do we know about it? We think, oh, we are completely independent. I am me, it's me who is doing everything. This is what we are thinking. And whole day, in this illusion, we keep on working, doing different, aham, aham, I am the one who is the, but actually, Acharya Swami says here, it's Krishna who is controlling everything within this body. And because he is present there, things are happening in the so-called normal way. When a little bit upset, then we get concerned about it. But as long as it's going on, okay, we take it for granted, things. Udharadishayapam sam chindido minivarmavi handi mrityubhayam devo hargadam thauvasmahim. Then, I worship that Supreme Personality, Sri Rajarya Swamiji says, who is present within all the different bodies, and whose form, when one meditates on, one can get out of the birth and death, the cycle of birth and death, that form I pay my obeisances. സുഹൃതവിചിത്രയോനിഷുവിഷന്നിവഹേതുതയാതരതമതശ്ചകാസ്യനലവൽസുകൃതാനുകൃതി അഥ വിദദാസുമൂഷ വിധതം തവ ധാമസമം വിരചിതയോന്വയന്ത്യഭിവിപണ്യവ ഏകരസം സ്വനിർമ്മിതേഷു കാര്യേഷു താരതമ്യ വിവർജിതം സർവാണി സന്മാത്രം ഭഗവന്തം ഭജാമ്യഹം. ആചാര്യ ശ്രീ രാജാരാം സ്വാമിജി സേസ് വാട്ട് എവർ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ക്രിയേറ്റഡ് കോസ് ആൻഡ് ഇഫക്ട് കാര്യം ആൻഡ് കാരണം ത്രൂ ഡിഫറെന്റ് കണ്ടീഷൻസ് വിതൗട്ട് എനി റിഡക്ഷൻ Krishna is continuously flowing in this creation. He is present everywhere. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Rajaraja Swami says that I worship Him. So, Nirmideshu Karyeshu Taritam Vivarjitam Sarvanusya Sanmatram Bhagavandam Bhajamyaham. Krishna has created everything. Krishna has entered into everything. And Krishna keeps it going. And at some point, Krishna decides to withdraw everything back into Him again. So, what exists in this world except Krishna? Krishna exists and Krishna expands in different forms. And we living entities, as soon as we declare independence of Krishna, we are in trouble. And then we are lost. We don't know which direction to turn then. But as long as, like Prabhupada gives the example, that a bolt or a screw in a large machine, it has its own duty, its own function in this whole creation. Similarly, we are all the bolts and nuts in this whole creation. And as long as we do our part properly, the machine is pleased with us. The machine functions properly. When we try to independent from the machine, and Krishna is the controller, Krishna is present in this whole machine in different forms all over, and we recognize that. So, nirmideshu karyeshu taritamya varjitam sarvanisya sanmatram bhagavandam bhajamyaham. I want to escape the cycle of birth and death. I want to escape from that. Sri Rajaraja Swamiji says there. Sri Swami is saying, I want to escape from the cycle of birth and death. But your Maya is too powerful for me to free myself from that. But please instruct me, he says. Todangriseva madisha parananda nivartayim. Todamshasyavameshanam. I am your part and parcel. Krishna says, Sri Rajaraja Swami says there. Todamshasyavameshanam. I am your part and parcel. Tvanmaya kridabandhanam. But your maya is bound me very tightly from all over. Tvangri seva madishyam. If I serve your lotus feet, how to do that? Paranandani vartaye. I will come to my original position as the eternal blissful nature. Duradigamatma dattva nigamaya tavatadano. Sharidamahamradabdi parivarta parishravanam. ഉപാസനം ഫോളോയിങ് ദ ഫുട്സ്റ്റെപ്സ് ഓഫ് ദ പ്രീവിയസ് ആചാര്യസ് We don't have to experiment or manufacture anything new in Krishna consciousness. There is no need for that. This manufacturing new ideas is coming from our mind. That does not work. The only thing that will work is following the footsteps of the predecessors, previous acharyas. We just cannot think, oh, we don't want any of your help. I can do handle myself. I'll take Srimad Bhagavatam and develop some new idea from that. With the laptop and all, then you will be misled. You won't get there. That is what this is saying here. That it is making it clear to us, hold on to the footsteps of the previous acharyas. It is they who shows the direction. Great, great personalities who have followed their previous acharyas. Because ultimately, who has the transcendental knowledge? There is only one person who knows about everything. Who is that? That's Krishna. And in the Bhagavatam, in order to explain that, how nicely it is spoken, at the very end of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami said to Shaunaka Rishi that, what did you understand after hearing all Srimad Bhagavatam? He said, it was then that Sudha Goswami says there that actually Srimad Bhagavatam only one person knows. That's Krishna, nobody else. Others are trying to understand. It is Krishna who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma, who is Krishna's another expansion, isn't it? Krishna sitting in the dress of Brahma, sitting in the dress of Brahma, Brahma heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Krishna. Originally, that is how Bhagavatam started. Sitting in the dress of Sri Narada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi heard Bhagavatam from Brahma. Krishna sat in the dress of Sri Narada Maharshi and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma. And sitting in the dress of Vedavyasa Maharshi, Krishna sat in the dress of Vedavyasa Maharshi and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sri Narada Maharshi. Isn't it? And then sitting in the dress of Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Vedavyasa Maharshi. That is how the Bhagavatam is coming through. Kasmayena yubhadidamalam jnana pradiva pura. That verse you can see there in the end of Srimad Bhagavatam. Jnana pradiva pura. That jnanam was disseminated in this way from Supreme Personality Krishna Himself. That is how it has come here. So here acharyas are showing us that this knowledge what Krishna has released for our benefit through all these great personalities catch hold on their own feet and come back to me. That is the only process left. That is why one cannot at any cost take an independent position in this and think that I have new methods to find out Krishna. That does not work. Tulkarnamada pathaudo viharandi mahamuda kurvandi kadinachejav chaturvargam tranopavam. That is what Sridharajaya Swami says there. Tulkarnamada pathaudo. If I simply drink the water, for it has been washed by your transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Tulkadamada padodo viharanda mahamuda kurvandi kridana kejal chaturvargam tranopamam. Only a few very, very great personalities, they have drunk this. Or what have they drunk? They drank this transcendental pastimes. The nectar of transcendental pastimes, they keep drinking that. And they consider dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. In other words, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, liberation. These are called dharmartha, kama, moksham. And they, the chaturvidam or purushartham. Purushartham means if one takes birth in this world as a human being, according to the Vedic philosophy, he has got four things to achieve in this world. This is what is stated in the Vedas. What are they? Dharmam, artham, kamam and moksham. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Four things. So why they are spoken so strongly is because in order to keep the human society in the right track so that they don't go away from there, what has been done is the basis is dharmam. Dharma means religious principles. So based on dharmam, on religious principles, you can have economic development. Artham should be based on dharma, or economic development should be based on dharma. Similarly, sense gratification, kamam, it should be based on dharma. In other words, the foundation is dharma on which this house is built. Artham, kamam and moksham, which comes on top of dharma. So if one, according to the Vedic philosophy, if one executes dharma properly along with artham and kamam, in other words, he can generate wealth in this world. That is not forbidden. Artham is allowed. Artham is not considered to be wrong. Earning money or earning wealth is acceptable. But it should be based on dharma. That's the principle. Similarly, kamam, sense gratification, is allowed. But it should be based on religious principle, dharma. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita you will find there, dharma aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bhradarshava. That religion, sense gratification, which is not against the principles of religion, Krishna says, I am that. So, if you divide these four into 25%, 25% dharmam, 25% artham, 25% kamam, and 25% moksham, The agreement Krishna has given is, if you follow the first three, 75%, the last 25% I will offer it to you. This is the Vedic principle on this. But to follow the first three, 25%, all three, 25% is very, very difficult. Who in this world is living on this first 75% properly? If we can get 1% on not all these three, we'll consider you have done a great success in that. So this is how far we have fallen away from the Vedic principle. So dharmam, artham and kamam, if it is done properly, the last one, moksham, Krishna offers on a plate. He says that you don't have to worry, you can come back. You can be liberated from this. This is how Vedic injunction is. The Vedic literature is based on this understanding. But that does not happen easily, and therefore, here, but devotees who have come to Krishna consciousness and who have tasted the nectar of Krishna's pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the process of chanting the holy name, they are saying that we are not interested in this Purushartham. Purushartham means these four. Dharmartha, Kama, Moksham. We are not concerned about it so much because we have found something even higher than that. That is the devotee's attitude. Because of the bliss that comes from chanting process of the holy names of the Supreme Personality, Krishna. And also, by hearing about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, one can go beyond than that. Tadani bhadam kalayamidam atma suhul priyavat charidi tathonmu getu ihide priyajan atma nija nabadaramandyaho asadubhasana yatmahano yadanshaya abhramanduru bhaye kushalira pradam. Acharya Swami says to
Krishna,
my dear Jagannath, addressing Krishna, Toya Alpani Jagannadi Manmano Ramadamiham, that my mind should get attached to you. Kadama Medrasan Janma Manusham Sambhavishyati. I do not know if I will get another human body again. Sridharajari Swamiji is saying this, whether I will get another human body or not. So if Sridharajari Swamiji is saying like this, what should we all be saying? Toyalpani jagannani manmano jagamadamiha kadama medrishan janma manusham sambhavishyati. Therefore, in this very life, when I have this human body, let my mind get drawn to your lotus feet, to Lord Jagannath. Then we all try to remember Krishna's lotus feet. But we don't remember, in a way it should be remembered. Charanasmaranam natha tava sadurlabham. First of all, remembering Krishna's lotus feet is very, very rare. But remembering Krishna's lotus feet with love, with attachment to Krishna's lotus feet, to remember the lotus feet of Krishna, is still very rare. So, Acharya Swami says to Narasimhamurti, that somehow or the other, let that thoughts comes to me all the time. Whichever way I remember your lotus feet, I should be able to remember with full attachment and loving devotion. Charanasmaranam natha tava sadurlabham yadha kalanjandrahire mabhuyadaharnisham kaihyanu vedavadavara janmalayo grasaram yadha mudakadrashiryam manudevagana umbhaye tarhina sannaja sadubhayam naja kalajava kimavinanatra shastamavagrishya shahidayadam. Then, once again, Sridharajari Swamiji is establishing that only through the process of Krishna consciousness that I have some chance to come back to you. Not by any other means. Kwaham buddhyadi samriddha kwajabhuman mahastava dinabandho dayasindho bhakti menhedrisham. Then, mind, kwaham buddhyadi samriddha, buddhi, intelligence, mind, and the senses, and the material body. All these things are keeping me tight inside, isn't it? That is the understanding of the advanced sources. Advanced great personalities, they realize that me, the person, actually I am caught up in that cage, in this cage called this material body. A material body is one of the cage. Inside that there are other cages as well, one after the other. the mind, the intelligence, the senses, that's all different cages. Along with the material body, it has created a first class cage for us to suffer in this material world. Kvaham buddhyadi samriddham kajavo man mahastava dinabandho daya sindho bhakti men hare disha. Addressing Krishna, dinabandho, one who is merciful to the devotees, daya sindho, one who shows all kindness to all those who take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. To addressing that, Sri Rajani Swamiji says, dinabandho daya sindho bhakti men hare disha. Please give me such a devotion to your lotus feet so that I can free myself from this entanglement of material body. That is how Ajay Swami plays. Janima sada sada omrdi kurda almane yeja vidam vivana mrdam smaram divadesham vidam almaru vidai triguna maya pumani dimida ayatha bodhagrada tvaina tada paratra samaveda bodhara seyim mityadarka suvarka sherida mahavadhandakara andaram brahmin mandamadeena mandamahiman tulnyana varmaspudam Sriman Madhavamanatra Naina Sri Shankara Sripade Govinde Vimudavadan Madhupade Yaktakadasyam Maham. That is Sri Rajani Swamiji's commentary on that verse. What does he say? Mithyatarkasukarka Sherida Mahavada Andagara Andaram. That my intelligence is such, he says, that it is busy in arguing things. It's very busy in argument. And now what is it arguing about? That I am trying to understand you with my intelligence. This is my biggest problem. He says, Mithya tarka sukarka sherida mahavad andhagara andaram. Andhagaram, it is darkness. And in darkness, I am searching for the truth. My position is such that I cannot find you. I know that. But still, I won't give up the search. I'll continue to search. Just like when you are thrown into a dark room and you are asked to find out something, what is lost. And you keep on searching, but you will never find it till the light arrives. So similarly, mithya tarkasu karka sheridavada mahavat andagara andaram. Mithya means all false arguments. Tarkam, logic and arguing each other. That is tarkam. Mithya tarkasu karka sheridavada mahavat andagara andaram. With constant arguing each other and discussing each other by these great scholars, that's what they do most of the time. They try to understand the truth from different angles. Using the Vedic literature, and great philosophers have come out from that. And they have, in this world, there is no shortage of philosophy. There is so much philosophy, so many philosophers, and trying to present the truth in so many different ways. Sri Rajarya Swamiji says here, they've all done a wonderful job. Mithya tarkasu karka sherida mahavad andagara andaram. Brahmin mandamadeera mandamihman tulnyana varmaspudam. What happens is, because it is like that, I cannot understand you. And my tiny intelligence I am using to get hold of, understand you, but I cannot understand, he says. Maspudam, Sriman Madhava Vamanatra Nayana Sri Shankara Sri Padem. Addressing Krishna, you are present in this world, in this whole creation, under these different names. Sriman Madhava Trinayana Sri Shankara Sri Pade Govinde Dimudavadan Madhupade Muktakadasyamyaham. Then I want to be freed from this. Please bless me and show me some mercy that I am able to chant these different names of the Supreme Lord, Krishna's different holy names. In other words, Sri Rajarya Swami is saying to Krishna, please give me an engagement to chant the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this Shruti, it looks that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, has come to tell us the power of the holy name. People have this false conception sometimes. Oh, if we chant this holy name, it doesn't look that it is very a good process. And sometimes they chant for some time and then they give it up. They say that, oh, I've been chanting so many years, nothing has happened. This kind of conclusions they jump into. And they also have somewhere in the corner in their mind, they also feel there is much more sophisticated processes available, like Ashtanga Yogam and or Jnana Yogam and so many other things, which is very, very demanding. And these people are saying that simply by chanting the holy name, you can go back home, back to Godhead. And it doesn't look very right, they feel. That cannot be so easy process like that. But in Shruti Gita, Sudeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit, Sri Rajani Swamiji is praying to Krishna like this. Give me the mind to chant the holy names of Krishna all the time. That is all I need, he says. If I can simply chant, continuously chant Krishna's holy names all the time with the proper principles, understanding it, and then there is nothing else required. This transcendental, the chanting of the holy name itself is the process. It is the simplest process that can make the spiritual life successful. And that is what Sri Rajaraja Swamiji prays there. All these names, he says, you are known by all these names, and all these names are equally powerful. And Mayanam Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadaruddhaya Gira Pulage Nijidam Kadavabu Tavannama Grahane Bhavishyari. That is what Mahaprabhu said to Krishna. Mayanam Galada Shudharaya. When will tears come from my eyes? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Vadanam Gadgadaruddhaya Gira. When I start chanting the holy name, when will I start getting choked in my throat? Vadanam Gadgadaruddhaya Gira Pulager Nijidam Kadavabum. When will my body will become ecstatic by hair standing up, and all the ecstatic symptoms will manifest in my body? Tavanama Grahane Bhavishyadi. When will that happen? That simply by hearing your holy name, all these transcendental activities will happen in my body. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in the Shatashtakam. So you can see that the great personalities, Krishna himself comes and tells us, do this, and still we won't do it. We still want something more sophisticated than that. Krishna is making it easier for us and telling us, don't worry about all the other processes in the Vedas. That was all spoken at different times for different kinds of people. For you, this is the best thing. Do this. We say to Krishna, is this the best thing? We are still asking Krishna, is this the right thing for me? Does it look so? And then we'll start arguing about that. And although Krishna has made it simple by this process of chanting, and Krishna has made it so attractive that simply by chanting alone, one can attain perfection in this world, provided he follows the rules and regulations strictly and attaches himself to the holy name seriously. Who other is more merciful than Krishna? Who else has shown more compassion to the living entity than Krishna? Krishna comes here and tells us, just chant this holy name. Don't worry about everything else, you forget it. You cannot do it. You don't have the capacity, nor I am asking for it. And still we are finding it difficult to accept that. Sadiva manastri virtu devi bhartya sada manujal sadafim shandya shesham idam almadaya almavida nahi vikrudim te jandi kanagasya dada almadaya sukradam anupravishtam idam almadaya vasidam yal sataya sada badi jagadeda sarsoda sada amasama satyasmin bhagavandam bhajamyaham. By whose presence, Sri Rajani Swamiji says, by whose presence this whole material world is shining? This world won't shine if the spirit soul is not there, isn't it? The presence of the soul makes this whole world worthwhile looking at it. Otherwise it is dead matter. Just like we say about the moon planet, there is no life there. And there is no life there. It is true. When there is no life, everything looks dead matter. Nothing else. So that's why he's saying here that by Krishna has put us here in this world, we, part and parcel of Krishna, has come here and given some meaning to this earthly planet. Yad sattaya sada bhadi jagade yada sasvada sada bhasma satyasmin bhagavandam bhajamyaham. That the proper understanding is that when one has devotion to Krishna, he will see that everything that has manifested in this creation has come from Krishna, and that has to be offered to Krishna's service. That is the proper understanding. Not reject everything. Many times we have this difficulty, we start rejecting in the name of renunciation. Everything rejecting, 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 ultimately nothing left. But in this verse, Shrira Swami says there that yal sataya sadabadi jagrayada satsoda sadabhasama satyasmin bhagavandam bhajamyaham. This earth is shining, the whole creation is shining because you are present in there. And this has been given not for rejecting, it should be offered to you. It has come from you. That, and if I have pure devotion, I will see the relationship between the manifested form of Krishna and Krishna himself. that relationship I will understand. Otherwise, when I don't understand that, I will think that all this has been given to me for my enjoyment, and I'll start exploiting the material nature. On the other hand, when I realize it, that everything that is manifested is Krishna's energy that has come and it should be could be used in Krishna's service, then my realization is perfect. Then, whatever struggle one performs in this world, with the great difficulty, austerities and penances, pilgrimage, studying the Vedic literature, performing sacrifices, and whatever one does, tapandu dabai prabadandu parvam, adandu tirthani padandu chagaman, yajandu yager vivadandu vader, harim vina naivamadim tarandi. Even if you have done all these things, ultimately, if one has no devotion to Krishna's lotus feet, that is not very a successful life. Tomagarana swarada hilakaraka shakti vara, tava vini muddhukhandi samadandi jaya animisha, varsha bujo gilakshiti paderiva vishwasvajo, vidhadadi yatraye tothikrada bhavadashchagidaham. Adindriya viyo deva sarvakara shakti vara, sarvajna sarvakartaja sarvasenyam namamidam. Then Krishna engages, Vidura Swami says here, that how to pray to Krishna. Krishna engages everyone in different kinds of activities. And although, because Krishna has no relationship with us through our sense enjoyment, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality who has to be served. And the living entity is the servant. He is not the master. Krishna is the master. Living entity is the servant. And just like the family serves the head of the family for maintenance and being looked after by them, in the same way, our relationship with Krishna is that those who wants to free oneself from the material world, they have to take to the shelter and the service of Krishna. Mairiya Nasimha Murthy, Krishna Sridhara Swami says, by your glance alone, and the Maya has been agitated. And Maya is agitated, the results are that the Jivalma or the living entities, they start taking birth. And with different karma behind them, the karma that is controlling them, they keep taking birth and death one after the other and continuously experience the distress of the material world. We are struggling like this in the material world, and one should pray to Krishna to free oneself from this. Then he can get out from here. Otherwise, there is no possibility. Andaryanda Sarvaloga Sagina Shutya Yukya Jamiva Seya Sarvatya Samashakarana Simha Srimandam Jaina Seva Avalambim. That Krishna is the Andaryanda Sarvaloga Sagida. Krishna is the super soul, and he is present as Andaryami. Andaryami means one who is present in every living entity and throughout the world, creation. And he keeps everything by his presence everywhere. And Shruti, the Vedas personified, establishes that who is the Supreme Personality, and that Nasimha Murthy, I take his shelter with my mind. Nakhadana Udbhava Prakriti Purushayo Rajayo Ubhayuja Bhavandya Surdo Jala Udbhava Budavad Tvaida Vimena Dovidha Nama Gunai Parame Saridami Varnave Matuni Lilliva Sheshara Saham. Then Sridhara Swami says there, Yasmin Yuddhaleva Vyadbhati Vishwam Layado Jivo Vedam Guru Karanaya Keval Alpa Abhodam Atyandanam Majadi Sasal Sindhuva Sindhu Madhi Madhye Jitram Dhrubhuri Guriam Bhavayedam Nasimham. That Narasimha Murthy, Sridhara Swami says to him, that in the devastation state and in the Sushupti state in deep sleep, even in those states, this material body is still able to maintain and it is not completely destroyed. And in the ignorance, Sushupti states, in the ignorance, the deham, the material body, also dissolves into Maya. And Maya dissolves into Krishna at the end. And material existence starts again after that. So, Jagral, Sopnam, Sushupti, the three states of existence Krishna has created. This birth, existence, and eventually dissolution of that. All these things depends on whom? Depends on Krishna. And that, Nrsimhamurti, I take his shelter. Nushadamaya Brahmishavagatya Prasham Toysudhiyo Bhavedhadibhavam Anuprabhavam Kathamanu Vattadam Bhavayam Dvaidha Bhruvudi Sajadimuhustrane Bhirava Abhavacharaneshu Bhayam Samsara Yakrakrakajer Vidirnam Udirnana Bhavadadaptam Kadanjidabannam Yapravinnam Tumundara Shri Nihare Nrilokam. Then this Samsara Chakram, this Chakram means this wheel of material existence. With that, I am being constantly cut into pieces. And in many, many lifetimes I have gone through, and so much distress also I have experienced in this world. And continuously I am being tortured here. And for that living entity, the spirit soul, somehow or the other, it has got a human body. And in that human body, it has got a desire somehow to take Krishna's lotus feet as a shelter. And I have come to this point, up to this, please take me from here and give me your shelter. My dear Nrsimhadev, says Sridhara Swami. Vijita Krishika Vayu Bhiradandamana Sturagam Yahyamai Thandiyandu Madilo Elam Upayakida Vesana Shada Anidasama Vahaya Guru Sharanam Vanijami Vajasan Dagada Karna Dhara Jaladhom Yada Paramananda Guru Modpadi Padamanomi Bhagavam Labheda Tada Nirastha Agila Sadhana Shram Shreya Saukhyam Bodha Kruvadam. That, O Supreme Spiritual Master, when I find my mind find shelter at your lotus feet, at that time, without any effort for any sadhana or any special effort, I should be able to feel happiness. Please show some mercy. Sojana sudatma dhara dhanadhama dhara asuradhai Soi sadi kimdra nam shayram atmani sarvarase Idi sadajanadam mithunadora daye charadam Sukhayadi govanyuhasav vihade sunirabhastavagim Bajado hivaval sakshar panamana chidganam Atmani umanakrityam tuchadara sudadhivim. That one who is engaged in Krishna's service and feeling that transcendental bliss from that service for him, wife, children, and all these things are not very significant. Illusory perception of my identification with the body, and I would like to give that up and remember you all the time and completely give up my false ego. And wherever there are devotees, I would like to stay with them. And when I hear about your transcendental pastimes from them, I would like to enjoy and relish those pastimes. In this way, if I can spend rest of my life in that way, please provide me that opportunity. If I could do that, then I will be released from this entanglement. Sa idam uthidam sadini jaymanu tarkahadam evijaradi kujakkujam shana tathobhayo vivakhataye vikalpam ishidondha paramparaya dharmayadi bharadi idam uruvutti mirukta jadhan udbhudam bhavada sado vivoyam sanna eva sarpasraja kurvan karyam abhiya kuta ganagam vedo vi neivam para advaidam navasal parandu paramanandam padam tanmuda vande sundaramindiranudahare ma munjamamanadam. Krishna, who is worshipped by Mahalakshmi all the time, I am paying all the time obeisances to your lotus feet. Please don't ignore me. This whole material manifestation, everything has come from you, and afterwards it disappears and comes back to you. Please let me not make feel that this material manifestation is totally real, and to accept us as the absolute and being tricked by Maya in that way. In other words, Sri Rajaraja Swami says to Krishna that his intelligence please be guided by Krishna himself, so that he does not being affected by the influence of the illusory energy. നയതിതമഗ്രമാസന ഭവിഷ്യമതോ നിധനം അനുവിതമന്ദരാ ത്വയി വിഭാതിമു ശൈകരസേ അതമുപി ഉപമീയതേ ദ്രവിണജാതി വികൽപ്പവധേർ വിധതമനോവിലാസകൃതമിത്യമയന്ധ്യമുദാഹ മുകുടകുണ്ടല കങ്കണകിങ്കിണി പരിണിതം കനകം പരമാർത്ഥത മഹദഹം മഹം കൃതി പ്രമുഖം തഥാ നരഹരേർന്ന പരം പരമാർത്ഥത. When gold is used for manufacturing the crown, the earrings, or the bangles, or the anklets, in whichever way gold is used for manufacture, for making different ornaments, but still similarly, although they do not have a permanent existence, once you heat up these different things, they goes back to their original state, which is gold. From gold you can manufacture all these things in different forms, but as soon as you bring it back into the form, original form, it's gold again. Similarly, mahatattvam, ahankaram, the five material elements, all these things what you find in this whole creation, mind, intelligence, false ego, everything what has come out is all from Krishna, and once it dissolves, everything goes back to Krishna again. So in other words, none of the things what has come out has any permanent existence. സ ഇരജയാജാന്മുനിഷീത ഗുണാംശ്ചുഷൻ ഭജതി സ്വരൂപതാം തദനുമൃത്യമഭേദഭഗുരജഹാസ്തുമാഹിരിവ തജമാത്മാർത്ഥഭഗോ മഹസി മഹീയശേഷ്ടഗുണിതേ പരിമേയ ഭഗാം. ദി നൃത്യന്നീതവീക്ഷണാംഗത കാലസ്വഭാവാദിർ ഭവാൻ സ്വതരയസ്തമോ ഗുണമയാൻ ഉന്മീലയന്തി ബഹൂൻ മാമാക്രമ്യ മദാശിരസ്തിവരം സംവർദ്ധയന്താദുരം ആയാധീ ശരണം ഗതോസ്മിനഹരേ ത്വാമേവദാം വാരയ. Nisimhamurti addressing Sridhara Swami says that Maya Devi, Maya is present there. How? When Krishna looks, Maya starts creation. That is how it is. It's a Ikshanam. Ikshanam means by Krishna's glancing of the material energy, Maya starts the creation. Then, and the game starts from then on. Maya Bhagavati or Maya Devi starts the game from then on. And with time and three modes of material nature, she is dressed up so nicely, and whoever sees her, they get captivated by that. That's what she says. And Maya Devi, mrityandi tava vikshanangada kala swabhava adivibhavan satturajastamo gunamayan unmilayandi bahuvin. The three modes of material nature, it is her dress, and she also is dressed up nicely with time and enjoys it. And when I see that form, I get attracted immediately. And I want to engage in Maya service. That's what Sri Swami says. Samardhayandhyaduram. And what happens? Maya continuously kicks me. All the time I get kicked. And do I learn anything? Nothing. Mamakramyabadashirasadivaram. And sometimes the kick are so powerful on the head, I go down in the water, right down. And then I come back again, and still I want to enjoy after that. So, Mama Kramya Vada Ashira Sadivaram Samardayandya Aduram. That Samardam, the pressure from Maya, is so powerful, I still won't wake up from my illusion. Still, I find something else to do. Maya Kramya Vada Ashira Sadivaram Samardayandya Aduram Maya Te Sharanam. That your Maya is like this, and I have no other choice except to take your shelter. Mayate sharanam gadosmini hare tvamevadam varaya. And I am, by that kicks, I am suffering so much, Sridhara Swami says. I am suffering so much that it is time for her to stop this game with me. I can't take it anymore. He says to Krishna like this. Mayate sharanam gadosmini hare tvamevadam varayam. That once you say to her, don't do this to him again, he is my devotee, then she will stop it. Till Krishna says to her that stop disturbing him anymore. Up to that time, I'm going to be disturbed. I do not have the strength to survive through this illusion called Maya and or the hard struggle for material existence and continue to serve you. Sridhara Swami is very open about it, openly saying to Krishna, this is my position, that I am such a learned personality, a personality who has mastered all the essence of the Vedic literature, and who had so much mercy from Narasimhamurti. He is saying like this. He is frightened of Maya. And are we frightened? We are not frightened. Are we? Because I think in one occasion, somebody, asked Srila Prabhupada about this. Prabhupada says the whole problem is that you have no fear of Maya. This is what it is. That is how he simply puts it. You see, great, great devotees, they are always praying to Krishna that let Maya not touch me. Let Maya not touch me. Because if I get trapped in Maya, everything is gone. So you can imagine how alert and how conscious they have to be in Krishna's service. Even while serving Krishna, mind will go into Maya. That we all know very well. In fact, if Krishna comes once in a way, that will be a surprise in our service. Most of the case, it is like that. Most of the time, busy with paying this bill, getting this cash or getting that money, drawing the check, this, that and the other. So many other things is going through the mind. Now and then, suddenly you think a little bit about Krishna. By then he goes, immediately gone from mind again. This is our mind. So, this particular prayer is applied to only to Sridhara Swami, not for us. Because in this prayer, Sridhara Swami is saying like this, I am getting continuously kicked by Maya. He says like this. Maya te sharanam gatosmin hare varaya. If you don't show any mercy to me, I will be finished with this kicks from Maya. That's what Sridhara Swami says. At least Sridhara Swami has spoken like this. Have we any time told Krishna that Maya is giving me a lot of trouble? Please protect me from Maya. I don't know. I have not said that. But about you, I don't know. Our requests are different. We are asking Krishna, please make me comfortable within this Maya. This is our prayer to Krishna. That if I can just get this problem sorted out, or that problem sorted out, I will be alright. I mean, I'm not too bothered about Maya after that. So if you can do something, whereas Sridhara Swami is saying to Krishna, I don't want anything to do with this Maya. Let me take me out from this Maya, this I can't stand. That is that depth of realization on those great personalities. That is how they pray. And we pray like this. So now you understand, you know what I mean, what is meant by devotion. Bhakti means all what Sridhara Swami is saying. Ours is business. What we want is, we want to offer something and get something in return. This is our contract with Krishna. And Krishna also is smiling, standing there. Oh my, all these great devotees have come today to see me. Now Krishna says to Radharani, take all their requests. Write it down. The secretary, Radharani, has to do all that. And when in the night, Krishna says, how much I have to satisfy? Now what all do I have to do for my pure devotees who have come to see me today? Krishna gets distressed. Sometimes he doesn't get sleep seeing our devotion. That is how much we put Krishna into distress by our own so-called pure devotion. This is where we are. This is where we are. This is why we were saying yesterday in Bhagavad Gita, when Srila Prabhupada says that bhakti is not a cheap thing. To get to that level of Krishna consciousness, not easy. We can keep on doing so many things and say we are all great devotees, but at the end, the judge is Krishna. It is Krishna who has to say who is a devotee and who is not us. So, it says here that mrityam nitam avikshanaanganagadam kalasvabhavadivi bhavan sattvarajasthamogunamayan unnilayandivahum Mama Kramivada Sharasidivaram Samardayandi Aturam Mayate Sharanam Gados Minihare Twame Vadam Varaya. This is how Sridhara Swami prays to Krishna. Yadina Samudharandi Yodhika Majada Duradigamo Sadam Hudika Dosmudamandhamani Asutrava Yogina Upayado Pisugam Bhagavan Anamagadam Nagadana Diruta Badad Bhavadam. Sridhara Swami says, Dambanya Samishena Vanjida Janam Bogaika Chindaduram Samukhyam Namaharnisham Virajido Dyogaklamaira Kulam Atya Langanayatya Matyanada Samanana Samadam Dina Nadayanidhana Paramananda Prabhu Pahimam. That addressing Krishna is the most merciful personality and who is the kind to everyone, all the living entity. Protect me, says Sridhara Swami. That I have a lot of tendencies in me. And Sridhara Swami is saying this. Actually, these tendencies are not in Sridhara Swami. Sridhara Swami is saying on our behalf. You can undertake it like that. Why? Dambanyasamishena vanjita janam. That because of my special nature to cheat others and to take their wealth from them. I am very expert at that. besides dambhanya samshena vanchita janam, I'll cheat others and get their wealth from them. Dambhanya samshena vanchita janam bhogaika chinda aduram, after getting that wealth my plan is to enjoy, feel myself happy, how expert I am in doing it, and feel satisfied in that. Bhogaika chinda aduram samohyam namaham isham virajito udyoga klamai ragulam. Then by too much of a desire, that sometimes I feel that I have some, whatever dress I have to take for that in this world, I'll take that dress. Sometimes even as the dress of a sannyasi, I will do that if I have to get money from others because of my greed inside. And then even a dress, I have no difficulty. And falsely, people offer their respects to me. Ajna alanginam ajnam ajnanada ajnam ajnanada sammanana sammadam. And they start coming, offering their obeisances to me. And Sridhara Swami is saying this. Offer their obeisances to me and offer me some cash or some charity or food. And I am thinking, what a great personality I am. And with that pride I move around. And because my mind is so much focused on earning wealth in this world, inside I have a lot of stress going on because my mind is so attached to all the other things in this world, and such a thought should not approach me. That is what he says to Sridhara Swami, says to Krishna. Now Sridhara Swami's time also, it looks that there were people who has done all these things, that who have collected money in this way and who have used spiritual life to exploit others. In that way, people have done things. Because of that, he says here, dambhanya samshena vanchita janam bhogaika chinda aduram. When bhogam, that desire for sense gratification is strong in me, sajjamujja sammohyam namaharnisham virajito yoga klamai rakulam. But inside my mind, it's all desires burning inside. So many things I want. I want this, I want that, I want that, I want that. Everything I want. But externally, I am renounced, I am renounced, I am renounced. So what happens inside then? If some person is like this, outside everything is renounced, inside everything I want, I want, I want. Dambhanyasamashena vanjita janam. Then you have to do vanjita janam, you have to cheat. Dambhanyasamashena vanjita janam bhogaika chinda aduram. That you want bhogam, and because of that bhogam, desire for enjoyment, I am looking for that. Mogaika chinda aduram samuhyandam aharnisham virajito yoga klamai rakulam. And then my mind is so disturbed because of my desires inside. Too much anxiety builds up at that time. Ajna alanginam ajnam ajnada sammanana sammadam. That ajna janada sammanana sammadam. That ajna, ajna means ignorant people. They accept me because my dress is right. So they accept me and come and start paying obeisances and offer me cash, offer me food, offer me this, offer me that. And I fall for it. My dear Krishna, says Sridhara Swami, protect me from all these things. In other words, Vairagyam was very strong in Sridhara Swami's mind. That is what it is showing. That who was not infatuated with all these material opulences and material things, he has no attraction for that. Todavakamina veti bhavadutta shubha shubhayor guna viguna anyoyam starkideha pradam jagira aniyugam anyohamsa gunagida paramparaya shravana vidho yadastama bhavargagadir manujai avagadandome shamadava spirdi yanna suga suga sangamam shamavarnana vamata viva mai bhavam yatha vidhingaram. That my dear Madhava, Sridhara Swami says that you are the controller of Maya. You are Sachidananda Swarupam, eternal, blissful and knowledge form. That when I get that form, only then I will be released from this. In other words, till I am freed from this material body and come to my spiritual body, I cannot get out of all these problems here, what I have. As a sannyasi, Sridhara Swami is speaking like this. We have to remember that also. That Sridhara Swami's mind is very much based on this experience of the material world, and continuously he is repeatedly saying to Krishna that let me absorb myself in the thoughts of devotional thoughts of Krishna's lotus feet and Krishna's pastimes. So he ദിവതയോ വിദുരന്തമനന്തം തേനജ ഭവാൻ നഗര ശ്രുതി മൗലയ ത്വയി ഫലന്തിയതോ നമയിത്യതോ ജയ ജയേ ദിവജയേ തവതൽ പദം. ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ ലൈക് ഗ്രേറ്റ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റീസ് ലൈക് ലോർഡ് ബ്രഹ്മ ഡെമിഗോഡ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഓൾ അതേഴ്സ് വിത്ത് ഗ്രേറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് they will not able to know you, even they cannot know you. That all the words cannot express Krishna's position. That is what it says. Even with the words you cannot glorify Krishna. That is Krishna's position. Mano vacham agocharam, beyond the mind, beyond the words is Krishna's position. So this Shruti Gita is finishing there, and it says here that this Shruti Gita is only telling us to understand that absolute truth cannot be expressed through words, cannot be spoken through words. But if one serves the absolute truth by seva alone, upasana alone, one can experience the absolute truth. That is all it's possible. Nobody will be able to convince you what is Supreme Personality of Godhead is. You can, like the Veda Shrutis have discussed here, Shrutis have spoken a lot of things about the absolute truth from different angles. Even after studying all that, one will not be able to understand what the absolute truth is. So here, in the concluding verse, Sridhara Swami says there like this, that by words alone, you cannot be described. No one can express your position by words alone, who you are. But by upasana, by serving Krishna, by surrendering to Him, by devotion, and by service, eventually Krishna, if by His mercy, He will give you some understanding about Him. So now you can see why there is so much difficulty while talking about Krishna consciousness. People come, they want answer for all their questions first. After all the questions are answered, then they will consider whether to take to Krishna consciousness or not. But Sridhara Swami says here that first you start service, and you start chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and start follow that process. And one day, when your mind, false ego, has gone somewhat from your heart, and you have started realizing that absolute truth exists, some realization Krishna will give. And in the Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam, it is spoken very clearly about this, that just like that, when one eats food, If a person is very hungry and you tell him, you know, sweet rice is very nice, gulab jamun is still better, and then rice with this such and such a sabji and all these things, you know, if you can eat all that, your hunger will go. If I tell him like that, will that take away his hunger? On the other hand, he will become more affected by the hunger, isn't it? So Krishna consciousness is like that. Once you take to the process of chanting the holy name of Krishna, and once you start putting your faith in Krishna's holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam at the same time, and continuously practicing in lifetime, even if your whole lifetime if you practice, you will never be a loser. That's what Sridhara Swami says. Only by doing that, you will understand something about Krishna. Otherwise, there is no possibility. Otherwise, whole lifetime you can ask questions and answers. It can go on. And at the end, you will get convinced Krishna doesn't exist. That will be the conclusion. And you can say to others that I've checked out all that and doesn't exist. It's all just bogus things. They have manufactured something, or some kind of excuse you can make to get away from that. Well, that is not the process. The process is first surrendering to Krishna, sadhu sangam, and also shraddha, seriousness. And with seriousness and devotion, one serves Krishna through by chanting the holy name and also by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. In that way, one develops attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. And in that process, one day, just like the person who is hungry, to whom you have discussed about all kinds of preparations nicely, but you have not given him anything to eat, will he be satisfied? No. Instead, if we are talking all these things, if you put a nice banana leaf in front of him and offer him first class rice and chapati and sabji, he will eat that, and every time one mouthful goes in, he will get satisfied. He doesn't require any more explanation about hunger and food, does he? He doesn't. So it is similar to that Krishna consciousness is. That as much as you start taking it, you will also start experiencing it, provided you follow strictly the instructions in the Shastras. ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച ഇത്യേതദൽബ്രഹ്മണപുത്ര ആശ്രിത്യാത്മാനുശാസനം സനന്ദനമധാനർച്ചു സിദ്ധാജ്ഞാത്വാത്മനോ ഗതിം. നാരായണ ഋഷി സേസ് ദേർ ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ശ്രുതിഗീത ഓർ ബ്രഹ്മസ്വരൂപം, വാട്ട് വി ഹാവ് സ്പോക്കൺ ഹിയർ ഇസ് ശിദ്രസ്വാമീസ് കമന്ററി, ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് എ വെരി സിംപ്ലിഫൈഡ് എസെൻസ് ഓഫ് ദി ശ്രുതിഗീത, ബിക്കോസ് ദി ഒറിജിനൽ ശ്രുതിഗീത ടു എക്സ്പ്രസ് ആൻഡ് എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ എനി ലാംഗ്വേജ് ഇസ് വെരി വെരി ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് ഫോർ people like us. So therefore, the only option we have is to follow the footsteps of these great personalities. Sridhara Swami gives us a essence of the prayers in this way. That, and when this discussion happened about Brahman, what has happened was, Sanandana was, all who were present there, they have served Sanandana, the Sanandana Maharshi of the four Kumaras. They were worshipped by them. ഇത്യശേഷ സമാംനായം പുരാണോപനിഷദ്ര സമദ്രത പൂർവജാതിർ വ്യോമായനൈർ മഹാത്മവീം. Then Sanaka Maharshi says here that what has been discussed in this essence in these verses is also the essence of all the Karmakandam and also the Jnanakandam. Karmakandam and Jnanakandam is the other part in the Vedas. And the essence of all that is included in this, says. ത്വം ചെയ്തൽ ഭ്രമദായാദം ശ്രദ്ധയാത്മാനുശാസനം ധാരയം ശരകാം കാമം കാമാനാം ഭർജനം നൃണാം. That without any effort, when one gets the blissful nature of Brahmanandam, that, and Sanaka Maharshi was situated in that platform, it should always continuously flow in my heart, and you can travel in this creation wherever you like. ശ്രീ ശുഭവാച ഏവം സ കൃഷ്ണാദിഷ്ടം ഗ്രഹീത്വാ ശ്രദ്ധയാത്മവാൻ പൂർണ്ണശ്രുതധരോരാജൻ അഹവീരപ്രദോ മുനീം. Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit, my dear king, please remember this. Narayana Maharshi has given these instructions and Siddhartha Maharshi experienced immediately the transcendental happiness from that. And you may think that how he has experienced this transcendental happiness just by hearing once. Because the reason for that is the speaker and the listener. That is it. That's all the difference is. The speaker is Narayana Maharshi. That means Krishna himself is the speaker. And the listener is Srinarada Maharshi. What kind of listener is? Pure brahmachari. Absolutely not touched by any sense gratification in life. So when a speaker speaks and a listener, such a listener listens to it, automatically the impact is there. So that is what it says here. And Srinarada Maharshi says to Narayana Maharshi at that time, Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnaya Amalakirtaye Yodhate Sarabhudanam Abhavayo Shadikalam. Then glorifying Krishna, Krishna's position. Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnaya Amalakirtaye Amalakirtaye. That means Krishna's glories are that cannot be spoken by anyone. It is beyond our expressions, beyond our capacity. Shravanam and Kirtanam. If you continuously, only thing is, if you do that, it will purify you. Your consciousness will be purified by continuously chanting the names of Krishna and continuously hearing about Krishna. That's the only way you can purify yourself. To that Supreme Personality, I pay my obeisances to Krishna. Ityardham Shumanam Yam Tachishyam Shumahalpana Tado Agalashvam Sashal Pidurdvaipayanasyamim. Sri Narayana Maharshi instructed Siddhartha Maharshi in this way. And Sukadeva Goswami says here how he came to know about this. Siddhartha Maharshi, after hearing this from Narayana Maharshi, came to see my father, Vedavyasa Maharshi. And at that time, that's how I heard this. Sabha Ajido Bhagavad Akhadasana Parigraha Tasmai Tadvarnayamasa Narayana Mukha Ashram. When Narayana Maharshi came to see Narada Maharshi came to see Vedavyas, Vedavyasa Maharshi offered him a seat to Narada Maharshi and received him nicely. At that time, I heard him speaking about this to Vedavyas. Narada Maharshi speaking about this Shudhigita to Vedavyas, and I heard it from him. That is how I came to hear about this. Ityetadvarnidam Rajan Yanna Prashna Krita Svaya Yadha Brahmanya Nardeshya Nirguna Abhimanas Charel. That how difficult it is, that you can see there, Brahmanya Nardeshya Nirguna Abhimanas Charel. That Brahman, which we have talked about and discussed in the Vedas and the Upanishads, how to bring our mind to go into that, how to enter our mind into that, how difficult it is.
ഇത്യേതദ്വർണിതം രാജനി എന്ന പ്രശ്നകൃത സ്വയ യഥാ ബ്രഹ്മണ നിർദ്ദേശേ നിർഗുണേ വിമനശ്ചരേൽ.
Because it is nirguna, how the mind will absorb in that, that is what I have answered. In other words, the simple essence of all this Shruti Gita is simply hear about Krishna, that is all. And this mind is automatically absorbed in Krishna, which means nirguna vimanascharel, mind will continuously absorb and move towards Krishna closely. That is all the essence is. And that is what Sri Swami has summarized it very nicely like this. But because it is spoken in a very elevated language of the sages, you can say like that. In their language it has been spoken. And that's why for us it is very hard to understand it. The literal meaning of these verses and the commentaries on that, it is a very, very hard job to understand it.
Yo sir prachakamadi madhyanidane, yo avyakta jiveshwaro, ya srishpedam anupravishya krishna, chakre pura shastita. Yam sambadya jahatyaja anushayi supta kalayam yatha, tam kaivalya nirastayonim abhayam, dhyayet ajasram harim.
Now, the last words, concluding this Naranarayana Sambhadam, that means Naramarshi and Narayana Marshi, Sudeva Goswami is saying here, the last offering to them, then yo seol prekshakamadi madhyanidhane yo avyakta jiveshwaram, that when the jiva, when the living entities, in order for them to satisfy all their desires, that means when did Krishna start this creation? This question will come, isn't it? When did Krishna start taking all these different incarnations? Why did Krishna take all these incarnations? That is what is answered in that. That when Krishna saw that the living entities are struggling in this material nature all the time and unable to come out of that and come back to Him, to come back to Krishna. So when that mercy sometimes started overflowing from Krishna, Krishna by His special mercy, Krishna is always trying to take the devotees back from here. It is the rebels that is here, back, left hand, left with. So when not to get them back, Krishna is giving so much opportunity. But when that mercy becomes uncontrolled, when it is not checked properly, what happens is, Krishna comes down personally all the time in different forms. And that is how different incarnations have come to this world.
Janmadho karmana maspudamiha gunadoshadigam va na yasmin loganam udayeya.
For the benefit of this world, that for the lokanam udayeya, only for the benefit of this world, Krishna took all these incarnations. If these incarnations did not happen, how we will know about Krishna? That is Krishna's mercy. Because of those incarnations, Srimad Bhagavatam has come. If Krishna did not take an incarnation, there won't be any Srimad Bhagavatam, would they? So, would there be no incarnation, no Bhagavatam as well? So, in concluding here, that because of His causeless mercy to the devotees, and because of the compassion for the conditioned souls, Krishna has decided to come down here in different forms in the name of incarnations. That is how all these incarnations have happened. Then, and in the time of creation, during maintenance and at the end of destruction, who is present in all this creation, who executes everything? That is Krishna. And living entities who have come here and accepted different bodies, who are part and parcels of Krishna, who maintains them, who provides them food for them to sustain. Krishna provides them to food to sustain. Factories cannot produce grains, can they? They can only produce nuts and bolts and computers and all that. But if you want to eat something, at the end Krishna has to give us the food. Bhumi Devi has to produce from the earth the grains and the vegetables, the milk, everything. Still, Krishna's supply started from time immemorial, and it has not stopped. It is still continuing. And we, the ungrateful ones, continuously challenge Krishna from our position. This is our unfortunate situation. So, and not only that, Krishna is feeding us, Krishna is maintaining us and doing everything. Apart from that, what else Krishna does? Krishna also gives spiritual instructions to us to take advantage and to get out of this miserable state. And after all these things done,
talks to us about Maya, the illusory energy. And the living entity comes here and suffers through this illusory energy, through the process of birth and death. And unable to shake away from Maya, he struggles here. And at that time, Krishna gives the transcendental knowledge to get out of it through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna does that. Now, after doing all that, still feeling more compassion towards seeing our helpless state, Krishna comes here personally. Either Krishna comes or Krishna sends his representatives, great personalities who come here, great devotees, all the acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself came. Like this, in different forms, Krishna is continuously providing us different opportunity to come back to him. Can you imagine that, how much Krishna's side, Krishna is putting the effort to get us back into spiritual world. And we stay here and constantly bickering about it. Right, Krishna, you don't listen to anything what I have told you. And I have asked you so many things, you have not done anything. And our endless list, we keep on telling, saying, Krishna is telling us this is the way you should come. And we are telling, no, I have my own way worked out. You agree with me. My plan of action is better than yours. This is our policy. Our philosophy works in that direction. This is that Maya. So Krishna is trying to help us to get out of this Maya. We have no other shelter except to take to the knowledge that's been given to us and holding on strongly to the previous acharyas, the predecessors, all the great authorities in the spiritual life. They will all speak the same language, no matter where they come from. They'll speak the same language. The power of Maya, illusory energy, and how to free oneself from this illusory energy by taking to the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. This is all the messages. But due to our own weaknesses, lack of strength in our mind and senses, we continuously fall and we are unable to, sometimes baffled and completely perplexed by the material energy and captivated by the material energy. We engage in different materialistic activities. And what Kunti Devi says to, what did Kunti Devi say to Krishna? Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi. Because of avidya. Avidya means that in completely in Maya, in other words, in total ignorance. What happens when there is total ignorance? Avidya kama karmabhi. Kama karmabhi. Then you want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want everything then. That is called kamam. And once you have such a desire building up inside, then what next thing starts is karmam. Oh, that karmam will start for getting all the karmam completed. So, bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi. Then, shravana smaranarhani. By hearing about whom that one can, by shravanam or by the hearing process or by smaranam or by hearing about him, one can free oneself from this unfortunate state of affairs. Kundidevi says there, bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi shravana smaranarhani karishyanidikechanam. Kundidevi recognized, you have come only for this reason, that in order to help those who wants to come back to you, and to help them, you have come here. This is Kundidevi's conclusion about Krishna's appearance in the Srimad Bhagavatam Kuntistuti. Krishna says, it says like that. From this you can understand that the purpose of Krishna's descent is to help the devotees to come back to him. Other things like killing the demons and all that thing, they are not particularly important. That can be handled even without coming here. They are not the big problems for Krishna. But in order to attract us towards Krishna, attract our mind, so-called mind, that is, this whole 10th canto is centered around mind. Somehow or the other, this tamogram inside, or the mode of ignorance, ignorant mind that is in us, let that somehow or the other get attracted to Krishna. That is the goal of all these things. Whole Srimad Bhagavatam in the Canto 10 has been spoken in order to bring our mind closer to Krishna. Otherwise the mind will not get attracted. Mind will always look for another opportunity to escape from something else. Maya will catch hold of the mind easily. So with this in mind, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Shuddhi Gita, or the personified Vedas prayers to Krishna has been spoken. So after hearing all these things, a devotee has to realize that the chanting of the holy name and also the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are the Nirgunam. They are Nirgunam. That means നോ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് ക്യാൻ ടച്ച് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം. നോ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് ക്യാൻ ടച്ച് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം. നോ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് ക്യാൻ ടച്ച് ദ ഹോളി നെയിം. ദ ആർ ബിയോണ്ട് ദി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ. So one who wants to, when we said yesterday in Bhagavad Gita, we were discussing this, that if you want to free yourself from the three modes of material nature, you have no other choice except to hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, because Krishna alone is outside the three modes of material nature. Everything else in this world, creation, is under the modes of nature. So you cannot free yourself from the modes of nature unless you have connected yourself with Krishna. And that connection process is Srimad Bhagavatam and the chanting the holy name. And when one develops strongly in these two directions, and automatically he gets released from the cycle of birth and death. So we'll stop there and we'll continue with Bhagavatam next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.